So here's your question. The question is this: name one thing that you're waiting for. So talk to the people around you. What's one thing that you're waiting for? Okay, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to pick it up at verse 26. So Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. We're taking a little break from Revelation, and we are working Gospel of Luke through the Advent season. And so last week, Pastor D took the first part of chapter 1. Chapter 1 has about three parts. And so I'm taking the second part today, and next week Sister Vonda is preaching, and she's going to take the third part of Luke chapter 1. So go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to pick it up at verse 26. So Luke 1:26. In case you're wondering what I'm waiting for, dinner. Dee's got something good back there. Anyways, 1:26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The one born to you will be called Holy, the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Let us pray. Father in heaven, again, we are just grateful to be here and for your blessings upon us, your work in our lives. And as we come before your word, we pray that you would speak afresh to us, that you would open our ears that we might hear you, soften our hearts that we might receive you. And we pray, Lord, that we would be humble to obey you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, we've talked a little bit about Advent already, and just again, our context, that we're celebrating that Christ came, but we're also anticipating that Christ is coming. And since we've been in Revelation, which really looks forward to the coming of Christ, thought for this Advent season, we would especially focus on Luke 1 and 2, helping us to kind of remember that Christ came as we anticipate Christ's coming. And Luke starts out Luke starts out with two birth stories, two pregnancy stories. And so as I think just kind of the themes that kind of come to my mind as we think about these two birth stories, the birth of John the Baptist, actually the announcement of that his mother is going to be pregnant, and now today the announcement that Mary is going to be pregnant. When I think about that, I think of a couple of things. I think one in terms of good news, that this is good news, at least to Elizabeth. It was, well, she was old though, so I don't know if it was good news. Let me say it this way. It's good news, but maybe it's actually disruptive news. Because I don't think Elizabeth was planning on getting pregnant at her age, and Mary wasn't actually married yet. I don't think she was planning on getting pregnant anytime soon, at least not till after the wedding. And so while this is good news, it's also disruptive news. It's news that's going to change their lives, and it will be difficult before it gets better. That's something that comes to mind. A second thing that comes to mind is waiting. Waiting. And so, pregnancy, you get the news, and then you wait. And there's not a lot you can do but wait. And so, those are a couple things that are kind of coming to my mind as we move into our text, that you get good news, but it's disruptive. And it's news that means you're going to have to wait. But maybe best of all, God is doing something. And sometimes we have to wait to see what God is actually doing and how God is going to bring it about. So God is doing something. God is forming new life. He's forming a new life within Elizabeth. He's forming a new life within Mary. And so God is up to something. God is doing something. But we have to wait. And we right now are kind of at a place of waiting for Christmas. And we're especially at a place of waiting for Christ's return. And so today we focus in on Mary's pregnancy, and we're going to listen to the news, and we are going to kind of learn how to respond to that news. And Mary's going to model some things for us. Now, maybe the first thing I want to get at is a little bit of the context of this news. And so Israel, the people of Israel, have been waiting a long time for God to keep all of God's promises. Now, you think you've been waiting for some promises to be kept. They've been waiting for centuries for some promises to be kept. And God had made big promises to them. One of the promises God made was to their ancestor Abraham, Father Abraham. And God had promised that through you, I'm going to bless all the peoples of the world. Big promise. Hard to tell that all the peoples of the world were being blessed in that moment, because Israel was being oppressed, and it didn't feel very much like blessing was flowing through them. It felt more like blessing was being taken from them. God made another promise. God promised his presence with them. And again, it was difficult to tell, is God really with us or not? I mean, we're still around after centuries of oppression, but we're still being oppressed. And God had promised land, and they're in the land that God had promised, but they're not in charge of that land. The Romans are over that land now. And so it's like, well, God, I thought it was supposed to be our land you promised, and yet the Romans are controlling us. And God had promised a king. God had promised David that he would have a son, and that that son would be like a son to God, and that that son was going to rule forever, a dynasty. And it's like, there's no son of David on the throne. It's an emperor in Rome that we're taking orders from. And so it's like, God, when are you going to keep your promises? And God had also promised a new covenant. And God had promised to pour out his spirit. And God had promised to change the people so that they really lived with joy and they lived with obedience and that they truly reflected God's character. And that hadn't happened yet. And so Israel has been waiting for centuries for God to get things right to keep the promises and accomplish the salvation that God said God was going to accomplish. And so Israel prayed. They prayed for God to keep his promises. They prayed for God to send a Messiah, a Savior, that would be raised up and bring God's rule upon the earth and to bring God's blessings to them. They prayed. And when we heard last week about Zechariah being in the temple and being the one, the priest who got to offer the incense that day, and the incense represented the prayers of the people. And so you can just imagine, you know, all the people outside the temple, you know, just praying, God, when are you going to save us from these Romans? When are you going to send a Savior, Son of David, to bring justice to the world? Make things right. We're tired of being oppressed. And the angel shows up, Gabriel shows up to Zechariah and says, your prayer has been heard. And he gets the news before anyone else that God is at work, about to do something. The prayer for salvation, the prayer for the Messiah has been heard. And then Gabriel just blows Zechariah away. Your wife is going to have a son. I mean, I don't know. They're old. Your wife is going to have a son. And he's going to be the one to prepare the way for the Messiah. Wow. And so this is incredibly great news that God has finally heard and that God is going to save, and that Elizabeth, your wife, is going to be pregnant and she's going to give birth to the one who's going to go before the Lord and prepare his way. Like, that is some good news. That is some disruptive news. Like, I don't know what they thought about that. I mean, it was really good news when, you know, when Vanna told me she was pregnant, and I remember the day she called me and said that she was pregnant, I guess I'm thinking the day she called me and said that her water broke. That's the day that I really won't forget. But getting this news, and it's like, we were kind of ready for it, but that was still disruptive. But if Vanna called me up this week and told me, hey, I just took a test and I'm pregnant, like, I'd be thinking, what are we going to do? Like, that would be some serious disruption. But it'd still be good news. Now, these birth announcements are news that God's at work. And sometimes we need to hear that afresh. That we forget that God is actually at work. We forget that God is actually paying attention. We forget that God actually is mindful of us, mindful of this world, mindful of what's going on. And so these birth announcements to Elizabeth last week and now to Mary today, these birth announcements should assure us that God hears, that God knows, and that God's at work. And so we're going to look especially at the birth announcement to Mary today. And I want us to just walk through the story and make some observations as we go. So pick it up at verse 26, chapter 1. In the sixth month. Okay, what are we counting from? The sixth month. We're counting from the time that Elizabeth got pregnant. So Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And so Gabriel comes back 6 months later, and now he's talking to Mary. So 6 months, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Now, we don't know exactly, but it sounds like Mary is probably a young teenage gal. And she's living in a small town, and she's pledged to be married to Joseph. And Joseph is a descendant of the house of David. And just a very common family. And this is kind of just routine. in terms of a teenage girl is pledged to be married to a man. And pledge is a little bit stronger than engaged. Okay, so like you can break off an engagement by just saying, I don't want to get married any longer. But to break off a pledge in their context, you actually had to go through a divorce process. Okay, so realize that pledge to be married, they're not married yet, but the engagement commitment was so strong that to break it, you actually had to go through the proceedings of a divorce. So she is pledged, she is committed. They're not living together yet. They haven't consummated yet. They're not married yet, but she's pledged. And so she's pledged to be married to Joseph, and her name is Mary. Verse 28, the angel Gabriel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And notice Mary's response. She's troubled. Like, why is an angel showing up to me? And why is an angel telling me that I'm favored? So she's kind of troubled about this. Like, yeah, I don't know. Have you ever wondered, God, what do you want me for? You know, I mean, it's that kind of thing. Like, God starts talking to you and is like, God, why are you talking to me? And you're kind of troubled about it. And like, God, what are you really up to? And so she's troubled. And look at the angel's response, verse 30. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. So, I don't know about you, but it's easy to wonder, why Mary? Like, what is it about her that caught God's attention? To where God's choosing her to be the mother of his son. And I almost hesitate to bring it up, but I bring it up because it's so easy to go there to where we start thinking, well, Mary must have been special this way, or she must have been special that way, or, you know, something about Mary in order for her to be so favored. But the more I think about it, it's not about Mary. It's about God. God chose to show favor upon her. If it wasn't favor, let me put it this way. If there was something characteristic about Mary, then it wouldn't be favor. It would be she earned it. She won it. She achieved it. But no, God showed her favor. Showing favor is different than giving someone what they deserve. Okay, and so as tempting as it is to kind of get caught up, what was it that was so special about Mary? Well, I don't doubt that she was special, and for sure she was humble. But what's most significant is what it reveals to us about God. That God in his mercy, God in his grace, God in his compassion, God in God's own free will chose Mary. He chose her because of who he is. And to show favor to her, and what's going to happen? Well, listen, here's the news. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. If you hear nothing else, hear that God is keeping his promise to save, to deliver, to raise up a king who will bring God's kingdom, God's justice, righteousness, joy, peace into the world. And Mary, you are going to give birth to this one. And Mary's response is, how can this be? How can this be since I am a virgin? I mean, she's not celebrating yet. Like, she just got news that's incredible and amazing, and her question is, well, really a lot like Zechariah's question, how can this be? I'm a virgin. You talk about some disruptive news. And the response comes back, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now, need to think about this just a little bit. It was a miracle that Elizabeth conceived, because she and Zechariah were old. I'm sure they had tried multiple times and barrenness. And so it was a miracle that Elizabeth was able to conceive with Zechariah. This is a miracle that tops that. This, Joseph is going to have nothing to do with this. That it's going to be a miracle that she is pregnant without ever being with Joseph or any man. The child will be holy. And what that's getting at is that no man can take credit for this child. That this child is of God. That this child is born of God. That this child that is conceived miraculously. And so will be known as the Son of God rather than the son of a man. Okay, are you tracking? The miraculous nature of this, and no man can get any credit for it. And then what else do we find? She gets a sign. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Wow. Nothing is impossible with God. Elizabeth was able to conceive, and she's in her sixth month. You're going to go see. And this is not impossible for God either. That you will be pregnant, not by a man, but miraculously, a child will be conceived in your womb. And you're going to name him Jesus. And he's going to be called Holy. And he's going to be the Son of the Most High. Fully God, fully human. Now, nothing's impossible. So, I don't know. How would you be feeling about now if you were married? Like, what would be your response? Would you be excited? Would you be happy? Would you be thinking, oh man, what am I going to tell Joseph? And what about the wedding plans? And if this is going to take 9 months, what does that do to my calendar? And so you can just imagine how disruptive this news would be. You can imagine all the different things that might be running through her mind in terms of how costly is this going to be? Costly in terms of my reputation and respect. Is Joseph going to stay with me? And we read about his response over in Matthew. But just imagine Mary for a moment in terms of how disruptive this quote-unquote good news is. Would you be thinking this is good news? Or would you be thinking, God, why me? Well, look at her response. Verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. Listen to her words again. I am the Lord's servant. May it be unto me as you have said. What a prayer. I am the Lord's servant. May it be unto me as you have said. Does that remind you of anybody else's prayer? I hear whispering, Jesus. Yeah, it reminds me of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is the night of his betrayal. And he's praying, Father, if possible, take this cup from me. But what does he go on to pray? Not my will, but your will be done. I can't help but wonder where he learned that prayer from. Do you think he had heard his mom pray this prayer over and over and over again? I am the Lord's servant. May it be unto me as you have said. And so that Jesus also learned to pray that way. I mean, for sure he has this relationship with the Father, and the Father is speaking to him and guiding him all through his life. But I can't help but wonder if Mary's prayer modeled for Jesus how to pray. I am the Lord's servant. Yes, this is incredibly disruptive. It's not what I was expecting. I don't know how it's going to work out. But Lord, I am your servant. May it be unto me as you have said. Do you need to pray that prayer? I know I do. More than once. The different things happen and disruptive things happen and things happen that I don't understand. And kind of have to come back and pray a prayer like this. Lord, I'm yours. May it be unto me as you have said. May it be unto me as you desire. Not my will, but your will be done. And so here is young Mary modeling for us how to pray. And how to pray, especially in the face of disruptive news. News is going to change us. News is going to make life more challenging. News that we don't understand. And it might be good news and it might be bad news, but that's kind of the thing about news, is if it's really news, then it disrupts the ordinary. Because if it was just same old, then it's not really news. It's kind of funny, we watch the news, but it never disrupts or changes anything. It's kind of just same old. What's news about that? Okay, but this news is disruptive, and this news changes everything, and it's going to be major changes for Mary. And her prayer is the prayer that we all need to pray, and it's the prayer that Jesus ended up praying. Not my will be done, but your will be done. I'm your servant. May it be unto me as you have said. From here, Mary goes to see Elizabeth. She and Elizabeth are relatives. Some say cousins, but there's a pretty big age disparity, so we don't know exactly the relationship between the two, but they're family. And it's about a 70-mile journey. And so it's going to take 3 or 4 days to cover that distance. And so Mary gets ready. She hurries to a town in the hill country of Judea, probably near Jerusalem, a few miles away. And she entered into Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can just imagine, Mary walks in, they haven't seen each other for a while, and the baby, 6 months in Elizabeth's womb, jumps with joy in her womb. And in a loud voice, Elizabeth exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." I'm just thinking, Elizabeth, I don't know how she knew, but right away she knows that Mary's pregnant. And the baby, John the Baptist, inside Elizabeth's womb, he knows. And he jumps for joy in her womb. And Elizabeth recognizes that her own baby knows that Jesus, Mary's pregnant with the one that he's come to prepare the way for. And it's a joyful time of celebration. And it's like the baby knows, Elizabeth knows. Do you know? Do we know? And see, one of the big reasons that Luke is writing, Pastor DeAndre touched on this last week, is so that Theophilus can be certain about what he's been taught about Jesus. And so kind of right here is one of these certainty moments that Mary walks in And Elizabeth recognizes right away that she's the mother of her Lord. And the baby in Elizabeth's womb, John, he recognizes right away that it's like Jesus is in the room. And he's the one that I'm being born to prepare the way for. They recognize, they are certain. And Luke writes, trying to invite us into that certainty, that we too can be certain that Jesus is the one. And then the blessing. Verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Like, you're blessed, Mary, as you exercise faith, trusting God in this journey. It'll be a challenging journey for sure, but you are blessed as you trust that the Lord will fulfill what he said he will do. Mary's response is to sing. And it's very much like the passage that we opened with Hannah's song this morning in 1 Samuel 2. So Mary says, she sings, my soul glorifies the Lord, magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. So on the one hand, this is very much Mary's song. It's very much her praise report. But I'm kind of wondering if the reason why Luke includes it is not just so that we can know how Mary sang, but if it's also supposed to be our song. It's also supposed to be our prayer. Listen to it again. But this time, insert yourself in here. Don't just think of it as Mary's song. Maybe think of it as your song. My soul glorifies, magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of who? Not just of Mary. He's been mindful of me. He's been mindful of you. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations, everyone around is going to call me blessed. Why? For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Everyone is going to recognize what God has done for me, and they're going to call me blessed. It wasn't because of anything I've done. I'm humble. I'm lowly. But God has done something with my life. And so that everyone is going to recognize God's hand upon me, and everyone's going to say, yeah, you're blessed because of what God has done. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. I'm proof. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant, his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. God has kept his promises. And so Mary stayed there with Elizabeth for about 3 months. What do you think happened in 3 months? Probably the birth of John the Baptist. Luke doesn't tell us, he just says that she stayed there for 3 months, but Elizabeth was already in her sixth month. So I wouldn't be surprised if Mary didn't stay until the birth. And then she returned home, no doubt to get ready for the birth of her own son, of God's son. So here's kind of the bigger stuff I'm thinking about. So first of all, we need to hear the news in these verses that God is keeping his promises. These birth announcements are announcements that God is faithful to his promises. And that faithfulness is that Jesus is our King and our Savior. And so we need to hear that afresh today in the midst of a dark world that seems rather chaotic and like it may be falling apart. And we're wondering, God, where are you? God, what's taking so long? Just remember that these birth announcements, God's at work, and that he keeps his promises, and Jesus is our King and Savior. That's the first thing. The second thing, and this is where I'm really kind of thinking, learn from Mary how to respond to the Lord. Learn from her how to respond to the Lord. And so notice that she gets this news, and she comes to the place where finally, you know, she hears it all. May it be unto me as you have said. We need to learn from her. That needs to be our response to God. And I don't know, I'm guessing that when God speaks to you, a lot of times it can be disruptive about something I'm doing, and it's going to mean change in your life. And we hear that good news and we're a little bit troubled, like, oh no, what's this going to mean? And we recognize, wow, this is pretty disruptive. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that disruption. But we have to come to the place where it's like, where we're like Mary, may it be unto me as you have said, I'm your servant. One of those disruptive places for me was wrestling with a call to ministry. And like, I cannot see myself being a pastor. I just could not see it. And some days I still can't see it. And yet I could not deny that God was talking to me. And that God was telling me, look, this is what I want you to do. These are steps I want you to take. And I kind of fought those steps because it was disruptive. And I didn't know what all it would entail. And I wasn't sure I was ready for all of that. And I sure didn't fit, you know, the image of a pastor that I had grown up with, thinking about. I thought, that's not me. And yet, I had already made the decision, Lord, I'm your servant. And so then the next thing that had to be said was, okay, I'm your servant. May it be unto me as you have said. And long story short, I'm here. The other thing I'm thinking about with this, the response and how this played out. As she said yes, the Holy Spirit came upon her and Christ was formed within her. Let me say that again. As she said yes, the Holy Spirit, God, was over her, and Christ was formed in her. You know what that sounds like to me? Becoming a Christian. That as we say yes, what happens? Christ is formed within us. His character is formed within us. His lordship is formed over us. As we say yes, it's like, I don't know, this is a weird way to say it, but as we say yes, we become pregnant with Christ. Not though, I mean, don't take it super literally, but just what is the Christian walk all about? It's about faith, and it's about through that faith, Christ is formed within us so that we become Christ-like. And so that we begin to have the mind of Christ instead of our old mind. So that we begin to practice the ways of Christ instead of our old ways. So that we become, so that Christ is formed within us, so that in all of our actions, our attitudes, our words, Christ comes out of us. so that we treat one another the way Jesus would. Because he has been formed within us by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so again, I think maybe Mary is modeling something for us here. That as we say, yes, Lord, I'm yours, have your way, then Christ is formed within us so that we become transformed and become more and more Christ-like and less of our old selves. And so that, again, don't take this super literally, but as Mary gives birth to Christ, so in our living, we give issue, expression to Christ formed within us. So that we treat each other in a Christ-like manner. That we love each other as Christ has loved us and that love has been formed within us. And so we have this incredible news that's disruptive and it's going to mean change if we say yes. But when we say yes, like the change is actually marvelous. Because we find ourselves being changed and being made more Christ-like, Christ being formed within us. Hey, nothing's impossible with God. I don't know. Changing me almost sounds like a tougher thing than God making Mary pregnant. But nothing is impossible for God. And just as literally Christ was formed within Mary, so Christ can be formed in me and be formed in you, because nothing is impossible for God. And as we say yes, and as we say we're your servant, and as we say may it be unto me as you have said, it's not too much for God to change each and every one of us so that Christ is formed within us and we give greater and greater expression to Christ in our living, our actions, our words, our attitudes. And people will recognize it. That just as surely as Elizabeth and John in her womb recognized that Christ was in Mary, so people will come to recognize that Christ is in you, that Christ is in me. And they'll see that we've been blessed, and they'll see that Christ has been formed within us, and they'll actually give praise to God for how he's been at work within us. Now, it may take some waiting. It may take some waiting. You know, for Jesus to be fully formed, ready for birth, that took 9 months. For you and me to be fully formed to where our lives fully express Christ in all things, all ways, all times, that might take more than 9 months. But nothing's impossible for God. And so we wait, and we pray, and we celebrate the news, and we celebrate that nothing's impossible for God, and we have this joy that God is at work. And maybe one more thing while we wait, maybe we sing, just like Mary did. I don't think she sang it once, otherwise she wouldn't have remembered what she sang. Otherwise, it would have never made it into print. I think she probably sang often. Maybe we need to sing often. I mean, we do every week, but I would challenge you over the next couple weeks as Christmas is coming and you're kind of waiting, sing those Christmas carols. Sing remembering what God has done and that he's forming Christ in you as you say, yes, Lord, may it be unto me as you have said. And that, yeah, it may be a wait, and yeah, we might get impatient about some things, and maybe people will be impatient with God that he's not forming Christ in you fast enough, but sing, because the singing is a reminder of the truth of the good news. The singing is a reminder that God keeps his promises, The singing is a reminder that he who began a good work in you will continue to perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so we sing about the birth of Jesus because we realize he's born, and as we say yes, he's being formed in us, and we're being changed. And one of the ways that we invite this change, one of the ways that we say yes, one of the ways that we open ourselves for Christ to be formed within us is through communion. And so we take the body, we take the bread that represents the body of Christ broken for us so that we could be made whole. And we take the cup that represents his blood, which is poured out for us, so that we would know his forgiveness and his mind, his attitude, his way would be formed within us. So we take communion every week as a kind of a way to invite Christ to be more deeply formed within us by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to ask Vonda and Charlene and Sister Alex to come and lead us in song. And as they sing, you know, I don't know what God might be talking to you about, but I'm sure he's talking about Christ being more deeply formed within you. I don't know the exactness of that, but would you pray as you come forward to receive communion? Would you pray something along the lines of Mary's prayer? I'm your servant. Be it unto me as you have said. Not my will, your will be done. Lord, whatever you desire, bring it to fulfillment in my life. Form Christ within me. And so as they sing, you're welcome to come and to receive and then return to your seats. And once everyone's served, we'll take communion together.